Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with y'all from rolling this Thursday morning. Well, look, another quiet night last night in the world of sports. Flyers lost. But look, we're all gearing up, obviously, for the Eagles stretch run, which includes a game on Sunday versus Washington that I think can fairly be said as the Eagles' last semi-difficult game. Maybe difficult. Maybe flat-out difficult. Maybe semi-difficult. Left the rest of the regular season. So the Birds gearing up. We're gearing up. Big show today. Jason Kelce in studio with us for an hour, starting at 7:30 today. The great Wilbert Montgomery with us at 8:40. We're going to have a lot of fun on the program, give you a chance to win a cool prize. All of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
What's up, Johnny?
7% of the U.S. population visits a McDonald's every day.
That's not good.
Every single day.
Impossible. Wow.
They go to it's not impossible, you know, James.
No, you're right. You're right.
I was one of those people for an extended period of time. When I was in college, I went every day. We had some damage problems when I was in college where we were no longer allowed to live on campus.
Yep, yep.
And we no longer had a meal plan. And that I would go to, and the Mickey cost D's. Of living in California mm-hmm. was so high, mm-hmm. I would go, hey, there's two Big Macs for $2? Okay.
I remember those days.
That's a great deal. I mean, can you imagine that deal nowadays? Unheard of.
Correct.
But I would go and get that every day, and it was like what everyone was
I
doing
know, look,
who
dude.
Was out and without a meal plan.
It was the
best way to sustain yourself.
Believe me when I tell you, I get it. Unfortunately, I still get it, but that's okay.
But 7% of Americans now.
Okay. Well, it is tasty. I'll tell you what's also tasty, this Eagles team, man. I mean, holy mackerel. So, you know, basic facts, as I think a lot of people know, 12-2, 10-game winning streak. An opinion that I think most people would agree with, if the Eagles play the starters the rest of the regular season, and we don't know if they will the final game because we don't know how Detroit and Minnesota will all finish out. But I'd say an opinion that most people would agree with, if the Eagles play their starters the rest of the regular season, likely to finish the regular season with the 13-game winning streak. James, wasn't 9 the record? They're about to get to 13.
It's insane.
And then, of course, we can take it another step. Depending on whether they need to play 3 or 4 playoff games, they could finish the season, ladies and gentlemen, with either a 16 or 17 game winning streak. All of which means, obviously, this really could be a Super Bowl season. Okay, it has a lot of makings of a Super Bowl season. Now, nothing's guaranteed. There are some other good teams. The Eagles don't even have home field advantage as of now for the postseason. But it is not breaking news to say this really could be one of those years 20 years back we look back on and say, man, wasn't that great, but damn, they lost in the end. 20 years from now, we could say, wasn't that great, and they freaking got it done. They got it done and became the second Eagles team ever to win a Super Bowl. To that, I say to you here today at 215-592-9494, I'm curious what pumps you up the most, what encourages you the most that this will, in fact, be a Super Bowl season? What aspect of this team, or if you want to look at a broader view of the NFL, gives you the most confidence? And, John, I'm curious where you stand here. What element gives you the most confidence that this really could be, for the second time, a Super Bowl winning season by our beloved Philadelphia Eagles? John, what hit you?
Man, I wanted to say something as simple as the attitude displayed. I do think that could be a valid answer.
Let me tell you.
I think the attitude of a Cooper DeJean, the Quinyon Mitchell rookie, I don't even know what I don't know, and I don't care, because I'm better than you, and I know my teammates better than you, and I also know where my teammates going to be, because Vic Fangio is a great defensive coordinator, and we are going to rip your guts out. I love that confidence. I love that toughness. But for me, I have to go with winning football is encapsulated with teams running the football.
It's a big one, man.
Winning football means you can run the football and you can extend the drive. You can get that first down when it's third and one, when it's fourth and one. You can punch the ball over the goal line when it's fourth and one. Goal line, short yardage, situational football. Yeah. That ability to just do that simple thing, keep the offense on the field, is so huge.
John, the tush push is a real advantage.
So perfectly, yes.
It's like a tremendous advantage.
Play. Yeah. Yes, it is massive. But then, on top of just that aspect of our run game, Saquon Barkley is miraculous. The offensive line and Jeff Stoutland are so sound of mind and body week after week, and their attack is so complete. And we should feel great about the fact that we physically impose our will on every team we play, because we run the football the way you should.
No, I love that. Look, there's a lot of ways to go here, and I'm curious what hits you as far as top of mind, biggest reason why you think the Eagles actually get it done this year. 215-592-9494. James, what strikes you the most?
Yeah, obviously there's roster and coaching and all these things we can get into, but mine's a little more ethereal. Mine is, and I think we just saw it, this team has the ability to create an edge. And that, like, in this sport more than any other sport, I don't think there's any other sport where wanting it more matters more. Like, you can go out and want to beat the dude in front of you, and he might be bigger, he might be stronger, but you can beat him. And this team has that edge. We just saw it. They can create. They can take something that they did and turn it into us against the world.
Sounds like that someone who's done this himself.
It's so powerful.
The tiny D tackle. Jimmy played D lineman in high school.
Let's not make him Cooper DeJean.
This guy actually practices what he's preaches. What he's preaching right now. That's cool.
I think it matters though. I think us against the world, creating edges, creating advantage. In terms of motivation, matters so much. We saw with the 2017 team that won the Super Bowl. That was such a big part of it, the underdog thing. This team has that ability, and I think it's what sets them apart from the other contenders.
I'm probably going to like all the answers today. I'm curious what else comes to mind. Rhea, what hits you as far as number one reason why I think this could be the year?
Because all of the issues that have cropped up this year, they've pretty much handled them very well. You know, 2-2, Sirianni's under tremendous fire. Hurts is turning the ball over. They go to the break. You know, Lane, Landon, Mailata, they go to Syria. We got to run the ball more. Boom. Saquon builds an MVP resume. Obviously, most recently, the AJ comments, the BG comments. They handled that so amazingly well from top to bottom, from Sirianni to Hurts. And they acknowledge that they're the ones who created it, which was amazing to me. So to me, it's that they've handled all of the flares that have popped up. And they just keep rolling.
No, they do. There's no question. Look, 215-592-9494. So in all due respect to my fine colleagues here, who I think all had fine answers.
I'm sure you have better ones.
I think I do have a better one.
You've got the key to it all.
I think I do.
Good.
The number one defense in the NFL.
Oh, wow. What a bold statement.
No, I mean, well, listen, James.
you're right.
I don't play bold or not bold. I play, what do I tell you? I look in the camera and spit truth. Okay? I spit truth. And here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It helps a hell of a lot to win the Super Bowl when you have the number one defense in pro football. Now, doesn't always get it done. Obviously, we know that. Sometimes doesn't even make the playoffs, which is crazy. Normally means you have a bad offense. Obviously, the Eagles don't. But here's the beauty of a number one defense. Guys, it's going to get harder in the playoffs. It almost always does. Every once in a while, it's a cakewalk, but that's pretty rare. And so here in no particular, well, I'll give you the general order. Who knows the first game? We don't even know if they're going to have a bye or not. But here's what concerns me about the postseason. But then I say, but I got this defense. Jordan Love does concern me. I think he's very good. I think Green Bay's offense is very good.
He turns the ball over a lot.
I know he does, but he can get you. Like, Jordan Love is legit. Detroit's offense is likely still very legit. I know they lost David Montgomery, but the injuries they've had on their team are a lot less on their offense and their defense. I've seen Detroit enough this year, and I know they're wounded right now and will be wounded to an extent in the postseason compared to what they put out there a month or two ago. But, I mean, they come at you with an arsenal. They got receivers. They still got the one running back.
They're like a weasel who's going to chew its own leg off. Like it's trapped in a trapped in a trap, and it will chew its own leg off.
They're James Franco in 127 hours.
And it doesn't care because it's hungry.
I don't.
And then it'll attack you.
Yeah, I don't take – there's nothing about the Eagles facing Detroit I take for granted. It worries me. But I am emboldened – by the thought against that offense is the number one defense in pro football. And then obviously the big one, the Super Bowl, where in all likelihood, the Eagles would either play Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Now, it could be Lamar, could be someone else, right? But, I mean, likely would be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, both of whom pose a hell of a problem. They do. But I got the number one defense in pro football. Like, that's if you're really drilling, and I'm curious where you stand at 215-592-9494. If I'm really drilling down on what gives me the most confidence, it's that. By the way, I'll give you number two right now. My number two most confidence is wait till the Eagles lean on Saquon more when there's less games left in the playoffs. I mean, I am convinced as much as they've leaned on him, they still hold back a little bit because, all right, we got 14 games to go. We got 13 games to go. We got 9 games to go. Pretty soon, there's only going to be 3 games to go. Then 2, then 1. So, like,
soon, we're going to see a lot more Kenny G, though, too. Late in games.
Maybe the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But once you get to the postseason, like, it is freaking full on Saquon. Imagine what that looks like. So, there's a lot that gives me confidence this really could be the year. Well, good morning to you. It's been pretty sweet around here this year. But we do know this, the emotional edge can be very different between winning and losing the Super Bowl.
That was impressive.
Thank you, bud. So, you know, I don't have to tell you, different reaction to 2022 to 2017. I mean, it's just a fact. So hopefully this is a 2017, not a 2022. Not that the first one will ever be duplicated again. I mean, you know, it's the first one. But this would be really special. And has a shot to happen. I mean, guys, we could have a parade in 2 months. And by the way, I'll tell you this. You want to talk about a reason why I feel more confident than I might otherwise? I think losing the Super Bowl 2 years ago will help this team. I think you agree with that, James? I think there'll
100%.
Be an edge that Jalen and Nick Sirianni, as the leaders of the team, will bring to that locker room to keep them just uber-focused.
No doubt. And the experience of it. Like, the halftime, we always talk about, how it's just a weird football game to play in. Yep. They've done it.
Yep. So I think that's a big one. All right, so look, here's the deal. 215-592-9494 to weigh in today on, you know, your confidence about the Eagles and the Super Bowl and what gives you the most confidence and the aspects of the team or the league. Because the Lions limping is a factor. Okay, that is not a non-factor at all. So what hits you the most that gives you, you know, extra confidence this could be the year? 215-592-9494. Also, when you call in today, your chance to win a $100 gift card to Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. What a great gift this would make for the holiday season. The secret to finishing your holiday shopping with 3 locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and also in Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. You can visit them in person or online at josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. Here's how we give the gift card away today. You got to call, of course, at 215-592-9494 and answer this question. What was a really tough choice in a movie, a book, or a show? And here's why I ask you that question, because the great movie Kramer versus Kramer came out on, you know, this day. I think it was back in the late 70s, right,
79,
James?
I want to say, yeah. Somewhere in there.
And so there's a very memorable scene. If you don't know this movie, imagine this scenario. What a brutal spot for a kid. Young kid, maybe 10 or 12 or 9 or whatever the hell the kid was, and the parents are divorcing. And at one point, the two parents stand about 20 feet apart, and it's like, and the kid's in the middle, and they're like, pick.
Mm-hmm.
pick.
Horrible.
Horrible spot for a kid to be in. Brutal choice, right? Brutal choice. So today we will ask you not to highlight that horrible part of society when, you know, a kid's in a spot like that.
How do you guys know this movie so well?
Well, one best picture.
The famous movie, John.
Okay, but it's from 1980, 1981.
It's referenced all the time.
Yeah. Oh, man. I never have
You should watch
this
it. Just
movie,
wait for my
like,
answer. My answer is like 30 years older than that.
You're a divorced guy. I mean,
I understand, when this movie was out, I was a kid. I don't know. I was 6 years old.
Have I ever seen The Godfather? It was 30 years before I was
That's
born.
That's true.
20 years before I was born.
So here's what I'm getting at.
But this is about divorce. It's kind of boring.
What was a tough choice in a movie? You know, sometimes there's a clear path and sometimes there's a muddled path. What was a tough choice in a movie? Best answer ever provides it is going to win the $100 gift card. John, when you think of a tough choice in a movie, a show, a book, what do you got, John?
I like something with a little more pizzazz than run-of-the-mill divorce and emotional problems. Like, how about, do I conquer the universe with good or with evil? Mm-hmm. Do I join the Sith or do I join the Jedi? And oh, by the way, while I'm doing this, I will probably bring balance to the Force because that's been prophesied. I have the greatest midichlorian count in my bloodstream anyone has ever witnessed.
Anakin.
I am a special individual who has a massive decision.
No, that's a big one. Anakin in what became the third of the new Star Wars, newest Star Wars, or not the newest, but 1, 2, 3. James, what do you got for a big time answer?
Wartime, and you have to choose between the love of your life and the greater good.
Casablanca?
Rick in Casablanca.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, James.
Ooh.
That is
big. That's a great answer, right?
That is big.
Not really good about it.
I still like to think he kicks ass in the war, comes back,
and finds her.
Sweeps Ingrid Bergman back off her feet for the third time.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.
Exactly. All right. James, that's a great answer. Rhea, what do you got here?
All right. I'm going totally campy. Bruce Willis in Armageddon. The asteroid to save
great
the world.
Great one. Yeah. Ben Affleck, the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's good.
That.
Well, there's
fun.
Multiple aspects. There's do I go up there?
Yeah. But I think the main choice is do I save Ben?
At the end. Yeah. No, I like that.
I can't remember. It's hard for me to differentiate between that one and whatever the other one was that was the same movie, but just a different cast.
Deep Impact, and it was not Deep Impact, but they were very different. Like plots.
Very different. Were they different?
Yeah,
were
very
they that different.
Very different, yeah. One is sending a team up into the asteroid. The other is like trying to fight it from the ground.
All right, look, give us a big-time answer. A tough choice in a movie, a show, or a book. Like, I'm not going to give you Sophie's Choice. If you don't know, it's an all-time classic. It's brutal.
Another Meryl Streep, though. Meryl Streep's some tough choices. Yeah,
that seems like another boring one.
Well, it is. So I'm going to give you a non-boring one, but it's a movie I reference a lot but haven't for a couple weeks. It's Rocky II. Mix in a tough spot, because here's the deal. Rock wants to fight...
You've never referenced Rocky
II
before.
No, here's the deal. Rock wants to fight Apollo. Mick loves Rock and doesn't think he's going to win and thinks it's going to damage Rock. And Mick is in a spot, do I train Rock? I think Apollo Creed is going to damage the guy I love, but we also have a shot to go win the heavyweight title. And my guy's saying, I want you to be my trainer. And that was a tough spot for Mickey, man. All right, give us, and of course, he ultimately chose to do it, but it was contentious. All right,
I never thought about it like that.
Oh, that's about 5 to 10 minutes of the movie. What is Mick going to do with the guy he loves who he thinks is going to get his ass kicked by Apollo Creed? Give us a great answer.
You're a doubter. You're a Debbie Downer doubter at camera.
215-592-9494. Give us a big-time answer. Let's kick it off with Dennis in Springfield. What pumps you up? This could be the Super Bowl year. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, gang. I'm not going to be as simple as they just have the best team.
Yeah, no, that's so simple. It might be too simple.
It's so simple, but the thing is, but the thing is, in years past, I mean, I'm always an optimist. I always think they're going to win. But in games, you would think to yourself, man, how are the Eagles going to beat this team? The other team's just better. If the other team plays defense like they can play defense, how are we going to score?
Dennis, I will tell you this, though.
That's our team.
No, I know, but I'm going to give you devil's advocate right out of the gate. Not to be the devil, but to keep it real. I was convinced before the Super Bowl 2 years ago the Eagles had the best team. I was convinced after the Super Bowl 2 years ago the Eagles had the best team. Still lost the game.
True.
You know, like they did.
But my main focus is on the NFC, because we don't know who's going to get there from the AFC. But we know who we're going to play in the NFC out of a group of four or five teams. We'll probably meet one of them or two of them.
Two of them.
And the two things I see are, A, first of all, I think we got the better coach out of everybody in the NFC. I think this guy has evolved so much since the bye week. I mean, you got Dan Campbell still making the same risky mistakes in Detroit. You got other coaches that really aren't that, and our experience, not so much this year, but our experience of being in the playoffs, of going to a Super Bowl, of playing well.
Look, Dennis, that helps. Just know this though. The Chiefs have a lot of experience too.
I know.
And by the way, the Lions got far last year, man. They're not inexperienced. They got to the very end of an NFC Championship game last year. They were right there.
And they did. But since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the last time, not even that, but since they went to the Super Bowl and played the Chiefs, since that period of time, it was always Eagles, Cowboys, Niners.
That's right. One of them three.
The Cowboys and Niners are gone.
I know.
We're the only ones left standing out of that, and now we're taking on the newbies.
That's right.
We got the experience, and we got a defense.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A running game that can travel.
All right, Dennis, great call. Give me an answer. What was the tough choice, fictionally?
You know what? You guys got me too soon. I didn't even have a chance to think about it.
All right, buddy. You got it, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call. All right, well, Brian Robinson, confident guy. Here's the problem for him. He says Washington needs to be on top of their game. Well, he's not on top of his pregame game, because I can't imagine his coach is happy with him. I mean, what, are you kidding me?
We're the better team, I believe, I heard in that statement there.
I mean, at least he didn't say we're going to win. Would have been, you know, but
he said we're the better team, quote unquote.
It's absurd.
Didn't that just smack of guy repeating what he heard in the meeting from his offensive coach,
maybe,
or position coach, or head coach,
maybe,
whatever they said at the start of the day?
But didn't want him to say it publicly.
No,
exactly.
Yes. No, stop parroting the coach.
Yeah, they
guys
should believe that in house, but not, you know.
John,
share.
Did you ever say something the coach got mad at you for?
I'm sure. I'm sure. I don't remember.
I'm not sure
about that either.
I know. I would bet no.
James, have you ever said anything? Every once in a while, someone in radio will get quoted, you know, local websites, newspaper. Have you ever said anything where you got the slap on the wrist for?
No.
Rhea, how about you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. I mean, I don't really talk to anybody, so I just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I don't talk to anybody. I'm very buttoned up when it comes to that. Yeah.
But wait till the tell-all book. I get the book next year. Wait till the tell-all, ladies and gentlemen. You want to see what's behind the curtain? I'll show you behind the curtain in about 10 or 15 years. Take an Uzi.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take an Uzi to the industry.
Yeah.
I don't mean that literally, right?
I hope so.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just joking. Am I? 215-592-9494. All right, NBA, no joke with some nonsense going on. We'll get to that soon. Let's also give you weird audio. I mean, I don't know if it's weird. It's just, it's a strange story because you get a major, I don't want to say major report, but you get a report from Jay Glazer yesterday that was interesting and was like, yeah, that's good. That's good. I like this about Jalen Hurts. And then Jalen Hurts is like, yeah, it's not true. So it's like, all right, well, we don't even know what to make of it. I guess it's not true. Jay Glazer, here's what he said. This kind of pumped a lot of people up. I liked it when I heard it. Apparently, it's not true.
The thing that nobody knows, and this is a credit to Jalen, is in the bye week, Brandon Graham actually with Big Dom went to his house and said, hey, man, we need to kind of connect more with everybody here. Right? As a quarterback, you kind of get lost in that. So much other stuff you got to do. And he went out of his way. He met with the offensive line, connected. He met with Sirianni like three times or several times. Connect with him. Connected with, like, he went out of his way with Graham, with everybody, to connect with them more, saying, okay, I understand this more of the quarterback position than me just sitting here with the game plan and, you know, making sure I could, you know, throw here and throw there. And they all credit him with doing a great job for it. And it's just, it's not out there how good of a job he's done to connect with his teammates.
You know, great, right? We're all pumped up, right? Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
All right, here's the problem. Let's go to Jalen Hurts yesterday at the podium.
Jalen, there was a report that Brandon Graham and Big Dom came to your house during the bye week to talk to you about, I think it was connecting with your teammates. Is that true? And just like, what was that meeting like with Brandon that he kind of reached out to you?
It wasn't true.
And that's the end of the story.
And we're done.
There's too much detail in that for Jay not to have been told it by, you know,
somebody.
Well, also, when is Jay Glazer wrong? You know,
well, apparently this time.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's like Jay Glazer is usually, it's like him and Schefter, if they say something, you're usually like, all right, that is flat out truth. We also know how close he is with Lane. Like him and Lane 100%. Are like super tight.
Here's my guess. Okay, I'm going to give you a guess. The basic premise of what Jay Glazer said is probably accurate. The players approached him and Jalen acted differently in a better way, and we can still celebrate that. But the nature of maybe an in-house meeting at Jalen's house, maybe that particular week during the bye week, maybe not true. Maybe it happened in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it happened in August.
No, there are too many specific
Maybe it
details.
Happened in the locker room.
I believe it happened.
So you think Jalen is just lying?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, that's possible too. Because we know Jalen's a buttoned-up guy.
Yeah.
James, is he lying?
So my guess is, yes. Honestly, if I had to guess, I would guess that there's probably...
Ridiculous. Well, what are
my
you
guess
saying,
is
John?
There's probably some truth to it, and maybe it's not as exact as Jay had it. And thus, Jalen is able to say it's not true, but there's got to be something.
John, you got a theory?
You don't think it's totally made up, right?
I'm sure there's something noticeably different that Jalen can point to and say, okay, that disqualifies this story.
It
from
happened
being true.
Over dinner.
I don't
in
want
a restaurant.
To talk about this.
Well, that I think is probably a big part.
So we'll put an end to
it. Oh, yeah, I believe that. 100%.
We're all kind of saying the same thing. Yeah. Well, Rhea, you're saying it could have, you think it did happen at the house and Jalen's just
100%.
Denying it. 100%. And John's saying maybe it was the different week or
at a different house or a different spot or whatever. That's what, I think you could deny it because of some little clarification.
Make of it what you will, but an interesting little twist yesterday. Let's go to the phones. What pumps you up the most about, and certainly the advancement of Jalen as a teammate, as has been talked about by a few people publicly, is a good thing. It's something I think we notice is different than last year. What pumps you up the most that this could really be the year the Eagles win the second time in their history of Super Bowl? Let's go to Dan right now in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning.
Morning, crew. How are we today?
Doing great, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Luckily for us, all we have to do is ask Brandon Graham in the players' lounge what happened with this story, and he'll accidentally tell us.
Here's the irony, Dan. The next 2 weeks for us are Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, and we're not here, so we won't talk to them until the playoffs are about to begin, or maybe week or whatever it is.
Then that's when we'll dredge it up. But until then, we'll just take it as
until then.
We'll take Jalen's word. Joe, can you tell me, like, seriously, I was listening yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You really have a block with what a candy cane
is? No, I don't normally. So here's what that was. No, Dan, I know a candy cane. I'm just being honest with you. You can believe me or not. Have you ever had a moment where something that you know, you just get confused on, like the sound of a word, the spelling of a word?
Yes. Oh, 100% yes. Spelling of a word.
Okay.
I was drowning in the criticism. And so, like, yes, I know candy canes. I got confused. That's all it was.
That makes me feel better. I couldn't sleep last night. You know, I was so worried that you didn't know what a candy cane was.
Carl, you're keeping Dan from getting sleep.
Listen, yeah, Dan, yeah. I appreciate that you've given me the opportunity to kind of right this wrong.
All right. Thank God. But listen, from now on, any callers that call in for the rest of the week with any negativity about the Eagles, just hang out with them. We're going to go positive. Like I said yesterday, this is probably one of the, if not the best Eagles teams I've ever seen in my lifetime, all around. I mean, our defense is crazy good. Our special teams, besides Jake Elliott's hiccups, are crazy good, from the punter to the coverage, and hopefully Covey comes back. We can show that we can pass when we want to, right? We have some concerns about Jalen Hurts, but at minimum, he's good enough. And our running game and our offensive line, it's just an all-around awesome team, and I do think it's the best team in the NFL. Especially now that Detroit is just banged up and ripped to shreds, and injuries.
So I'll say this, Dan. Obviously, I want to see the Eagles win that game. No question, the whole deal. I like when it's easier. I was intrigued to see the best of the Eagles versus the best of Detroit. It's a little bit like 2 years ago.
They'll still give you a lot of
it's not going to be the best of Detroit.
In the face.
It's sort of like when Purdy got hurt. Like, don't get me wrong. I wanted Purdy out of the game 2 years ago. But we'll never quite know what would. And listen, credit to the Eagles for knocking him out. They knocked him out. And it was bad planning by San Francisco to have a tight end blocking Reddick and all that. But, I mean, it made the game effectively over, particularly when the other guy got out. I mean, it was ridiculous.
That's what they went.
I know. That's part of football.
I don't want to go through another Super Bowl like Tom Brady and Nick Foles. I mean, that was crazy. You know, it took years off my life.
You went the 83 Sixers. You want the sweep.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yes.
I get it, man.
The first time in a long time this season, in the beginning of the game, we go and we watch it. We have that nervousness. But then all of a sudden, you just feel comfortable. I felt comfortable all year.
Dan, give me a tough choice in a movie.
Time, and this has got to be a tough choice for any man. George Bailey, when he decided to jump off the bridge just to save his family.
Listen, it's a reasonable answer. George Bailey, early in It's a Wonderful Life, he's that's right. He thinks his life is worthless, and you know, you guys know what we're getting at here. Should he commit suicide? So it's not a fun topic, but it's a hell of a choice. James, how do I transition from that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is wild.
That could win.
It is wild that is like the go-to Christmas movie for generations, and it is a really happy, but
it's very dark.
It's a dark movie sad at a lot of points.
I would say like 75% of it's
the
extremely
majority of it
sad.
Is pretty sad. Yeah,
no, that's a really
was America just like more able to like roll with that sort of thing at that point in time, having just.
There were less options, too.
And also, remember, it wasn't a big-time movie until like 30 years later when it started getting shown on TV.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. By the way, it also was drunk.
No one liked
it. Also was drunk driving in it.
It does. You're right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he crashes his car and was tree drunk.
All right, a lot to
chew on there. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, bad week for the NBA, and we've chronicled some of this a couple days ago, but let's just swing back around to it for a second. So the tournament thing, whatever the hell it's called, what is it called? The Cup?
NBA Cup.
Okay, fiasco. Fiasco.
Yes.
Okay, so everybody's lampooning the NBA, rightfully so, and it's giving people an opportunity to talk, especially when there's no games. I wasn't going to probably watch an NBA game last night knowing the Sixers weren't going to play, but I was going to follow my fantasy basketball team, and there was no games.
You want to go back and rewatch Giannis celebrating?
What was so taxing about two teams playing two nights ago on a Tuesday that made the whole league have to be off last night?
They have 82 games, and they just have to get through them.
I mean, what in
the... it's ridiculous.
James, why can't there be games? There were no games on a Wednesday night in December.
It makes no sense. Zero sense.
I didn't know. When we did the show yesterday, I knew the Sixers were off, so I knew I probably wasn't watching an NBA game. But like last night, I was like, all right, I'll follow my fantasy basketball. Like there was nothing,
and there'll be an NFL game tonight.
Yeah.
Everyone would be off.
Right? It makes no sense. All right. So here's what I want to get at
everyone
today.
You had to give Milwaukee a day to celebrate. And, you know, what an accomplishment.
When's the parade, James?
It's
did you see the celebration, though, that they had?
Well,
did
at least it was more muted than 2 years ago or last year.
They didn't raise a banner yet. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, no, but didn't pop champagne.
No. But on the court with the trophy.
I saw Brooke Lopez's face. You think the guy just won 10 titles?
That's what
10
I mean. NBA titles. It's like, this is nonsense.
All right, so here's the deal. Today, in a week when the NBA is properly getting crushed for a lot of things, including, you know, the new All-Star rules, which I can't tell you are definitively, like, I know it's horrible, but I mean, the commissioner is trying to get players to try. He tried for the last 10 years to get them to try in a regular All-Star game. They don't.
Durant, you see Durant's
did.
Yeah.
But you know what? Tough, Durant.
I'm just saying. Yeah,
you
know? He's not holding back. It's notable that he just came out and was all like, right. I hate this.
So here's the deal. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us today, as always, by Armin Chevrolet. Wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays and a healthy new year. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. So, we're trying to figure out what the biggest problem the NBA has is. We know they have a lot of problems, and some of these problems overlap. Like, you could say star player entitlement. We don't even have that as one of the choices. James and I, before the show, got together and put it down into three choices for biggest NBA problem. Tell me which of these three you think is the biggest one. Choice A is stars changing teams, super teams, and everything that goes with that, which includes stars asking out, stars sitting out, stars being a malcontent while they're still on Team A until they get to Team B, stars saying, by the way, you have to trade me, and you can only trade me to this one team. The other 20-something teams don't get a chance. Like, everything related to stars demanding where they play, super team, stars changing team, that's a big one. Choice B. Players missing too many games. Whether it's load management or taking the extra 3 weeks to come back from an injury, like, clearly it is ridiculous, and you just never know on a given day who's going to play. You never know. Okay, that's a major one. Choice C, style of play, which I think is mostly summed up by too many three-pointers. The Boston Celtics are on track this year to shoot about 60 three-pointers per game. John, 60, which of course leads to, you know, long rebounds that go back out toward the free throw line, and now you got the back tap, and like, it's just not fun to watch. I mean, if you get the offensive rebound, you jack up another three. If you get the offensive rebound, you jack up another three.
Think about what that is. 60 a game.
I think it's 58.
That's 15 a quarter.
Dude, there's no mid-range.
All you're doing.
No mid-range. There's no mid-range game. The Rip Hamilton, Michael Jordan, you know, let's dominate with the mid-range. There's none of that. Doesn't exist. Your coach will take you out of the game if you take a 17-foot jumper, which, by the way, also means there's no classic power forward, because now you have to have your power forward be able to shoot a three. Here's what's gone from 20 and 30 years ago. Charles Oakley, Tyrone Hill, Otis Thorpe, Buck Williams, Rick Mahorn, like, that was a standard bearer of the NBA style. The classic, tough, power forward, rebound defense guy has been replaced by the stretch four. By the way, now we got stretch fives that are 6'10" and they shoot three-pointers and they shoot five a game. Whether they make them or not, they shoot them. All right. Those are the choices. Get wild voting. You want to weigh in on the phone lines, you can. Just curious where you stand on those three. And there are other issues. We're trying to come up with some of the big ones. What stands out to you as the biggest issue in the NBA? 215-592-9494. I also want to get to some audio of Eric Dickerson. So we had the great Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson on our show 2 weeks ago. And it aired very late in our program, around 9:30 to 9:45 one day. So we're cognizant that people that listen to our show earlier in the day probably didn't hear it at all. So we want to give you today a little bit now, a little bit in the 7 o'clock hour, a little bit in the 8 o'clock hour, some of what Dickerson said in that interview, because Saquon John still has a shot. I know it's, now people are like, oh, he's got no shot. Of course he's got a shot. It's going to be hard. 140 yards a game. He can do it. Not possible. I mean,
he busts off. Remember, there was one game where he busted 270-yard touchdowns in the second half.
Correct. If he gets a 180, he's right back on track.
That's all he needs for a game.
Total.
140 yards, boom, he's on to the next game.
Totally.
If he does that a few more times, he's got this
no
record.
Question. All right, so it's totally still doable.
Yes.
Now, next hour, we'll get to whether Dickerson does or does not want Saquon to break the record. But this hour, let's give you a taste of what Dickerson said about what he admires in Saquon's game. Let me be clear. Long answer. We're breaking it down to about a minute, because prior to what you're going to hear, he talked about how it frustrated Dickerson knowing when Saquon came out of college football that he was drafted by the Giants. Dickerson could see it was going to be a disaster for Saquon in New York, wasn't going to have players around him, was going to waste a good chunk of his career, all of which was true. Dickerson talked about all of that and then got to this.
What's about his cutting ability? People always say vision. You know, I'm not big on the vision things. I had bad vision, but you know, that's why I wore the goggles. But it's the feel of the game. He has a feel to cut, and you know, sometimes you'll say, "Dang, how did you see that guy?" You don't see him, you feel it. You can just feel it. And everything happens so fast on during the play. But
wow,
you know, and I didn't realize how fast he is. You know, he's very fast. And that's one of the big things in attaining a record like that. You have to have the big runs. You have to have those 60, 70 yarders. And he killed my Rams that night. I mean, I'm like, good God almighty. Jesus, when y'all going to stop this guy?
Right. Yeah, and of course, I think we talked to Dickerson about a week or two after that Rams game when Saquon just went wild. Three things I didn't know about Saquon when he came here. Didn't know. One, that he had this much gas left in the tank. Didn't know it. Thought he had less, being honest. I think a lot of us did. I certainly was outspoken about it. Didn't think he'd be bad, thought he'd be good, had no idea he'd be this great. Number two, I'll totally second Dickerson's thing on the speed. Didn't know it till the Green Bay game. First game of the season, remember watching that game, the Brazil game, especially that one play when he just like took off like a jetpack was behind him and went for about a 20-yard run. I was like, I haven't seen this. I mean, I just haven't seen it. Certainly not from an Eagles back, and I've seen a lot of great ones. That was a different level. And three, I noticed at training camp, his physical size. When you see him next to Kenny Gainwell, I mean, I can't even describe to you the difference.
It's like two Kenny Gainwells in
one.
Yeah.
I never knew he was that big, which obviously explains in part the power because he's got a unique ability, much like Bo Jackson, to have not only speed but a tremendous power. So, look, I mean, it was awesome having Dickerson on the show. We'll play it coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, more of what he said.
I thought it was cool. He was talking about the he couldn't see.
That was interesting.
He couldn't see out of those rec specs. Yeah. When I was a little kid, people were Eric Dickerson for Halloween and stuff, like because he was so identifiable with the rec specs and the bright yellow and blue, of the Rams uniform at the time with the very distinctive helmet.
Totally.
But he's saying he couldn't see. The sweat would get on there. It was impossible. To catch balls because of that.
Let me ask you a question. So he talked about vision for him wasn't as big as other backs, perhaps.
Yeah,
he could feel it.
Feel, absolutely.
And he senses Saquon feels it. John, yes. Let me ask you a question I've never asked a running back. And you're kind of a running back. I certainly were in high school and college. Could you hear? Did hearing help you know where to go? Like, could you sense where people were based on the sound of pads clanking?
Sometimes, sure.
Even if you didn't see it. Because I never heard anyone talk the way Dickerson did.
You absolutely. Well, it is interesting to think about him using other senses besides his maligned sight. But it wasn't I can't imagine using it like
small percentage,
like
right?
Radar.
But maybe a little bit with the hearing. Because I'm just wondering.
Absolutely.
Like echolocating.
You use everything. You can sense. You sense with your peripheral, you sense someone coming on, but you can also feel the ground with the footsteps.
That's wild, man.
Pounding. You can hear the breathing. And remember, in a helmet, you've got those holes where it holds the sound in. So sometimes it's hard to hear it.
Yeah.
But sometimes if it's the right angle, you get those sounds in there and it almost gets trapped and it amplifies it. It's louder than what you would expect, where you could hear breathing that you wouldn't think you'd hear at times. It's a weird
It's cool.
It really is a strange
I like it.
Thing.
I'm more